It was during the recording of their last album at the same studios when they learned that one of the founding fathers of Deep Purple, John Lord, had lost his battle with cancer.
He'd been ill for a long time, you know, we knew it was going to happen. And, but it's still a shock, you know.
Right before he died, even he was emailing me about the playing on the concerto. Thank God I got to do it. Thank God I got to share that with him.
We came here, actually, and stunned the record, and he sent us all an email saying, you know, wish you well, I'm terribly jealous, I wish I was there, but can't be, of course. You know, it was very charming.
We were a sort of a week or so into the recording when Pacey, you know, Pacey and John are sort of, they married twins, so they're brothers-in-law. Pacey came to us and he said, by the way, John's not doing too well, he's back in hospital. Oh dear, no, really?
And right after that, he died. In fact, we were doing our session in here. I was 20 feet away when Pacey told me.
I let him all know, and it was just, you know, 20 minutes of reflection and, you know, the sadness of it.
Went all quiet for a bit. And then somebody started breaking the ice. Oh, do you remember that time when John... And it was all about the humorous side of John.
And then the funny stories started to come out. The stories that... John was a great raconteur. He could tell a joke with the best professional comedian in the world.
And we ended up laughing our heads off.
The atmosphere lifted, and you felt John's spirit come right into the room. It was brilliant.
We brought him back to life in the studio for our own peace of mind, you know.
Was ist mit deiner Nase los? Ich weiß nicht. Was ist mit deiner Nase los? Ich weiß nicht.
That's spontaneous enough, right?
One of the nicest guys I ever met. He's an all-round gentleman. I couldn't say enough good things about him.
All right, chaps. Here we go. This one's for real.
Everybody quiet.
Go ahead.
When Don does that, it goes right over the click, and I can't hear the click when he starts.
Really?
Yeah. Just don't play a solo live with a track.
Okay.
Every time we come to solos, it's losing, because everybody's starting to get taken over by the losers of the solos.
Right.
Yeah.
It just feels a little bit lifeless overall to me. It just doesn't have it the energy that it had at rehearsals. And maybe that's just because we're tired, and maybe it's because...
Well, we're just taking it out by thinking about it too.
Yeah.
We were playing it much slower, actually, in rehearsal.
But it's two beats down, isn't it?
It's two beats down, yeah. Which might be just more powerful and more kind of
you know, I know it's counterintuitive, everybody's trying to push it ahead.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we slowed it down a little
bit. Let's try it.
And then if it wouldn't get some of that majesty back. That's what I'm missing, is that, you know?
It's Sly and the Family Stone, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's take it to 106. 106, okay?
If it doesn't work, just stop us, you know.
For sure.
Yeah.
One more time.
You know, sometimes the best stuff comes as a result of dynamic tension. I say to my students sometimes, you know, what happens when you're flying a kite and you let go of the string? They say, it flies away. And I go, no, it doesn't. It falls to earth. That the thing that keeps the kite flying is the resistance of the string and the person on the other side that's trying to hold it back. So having a push and a pull about things is sometimes creatively very productive.
There's a certain frisson, shall I say, to recording, that when you don't really know the piece and you have to record it, you're all a bit on edge and everybody's watching everybody else and you pick up a bit of momentum. That's half the secret. Pressure.
There are disagreements, never heated in the way they would have been in the past, but I say if something is not gelling, then words are said, but they're not said in an angry way. They're said, look, in a way that, let's fix this, you know.
We don't have any polite veneers. I mean, being a British band, there is a polite veneer, just, you know, culturally, but what I mean is everybody will just say what they think, and, you know, there's no filters there. Everyone's pretty vocal.
So it's a much more grown-up way of doing it. Somebody getting irate and storming off out of the room, whacking each other over the head, that doesn't solve any problems in the long term anyway.
It's a decent take, but neither the band nor Bob are completely happy with it.
I like the slower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Ah. And...
I like it slower.
All right.
How about the track, Bob?
I think it sits, but I think that what the problem is that everybody does try to get ahead of it. So this is a tough one, this one.
Yeah.
It's harder than it seems. So in your cans, you guys take the other dudes just really lock in, the two of you,
yep,
right?
Sure.
Because when you're sitting, it swings and it's beautiful. But
yeah, we know when it's right, and then you know when it's gone, yeah.
And the minute it goes, then you lose your energy, lose your concentration and all that stuff. What are you putting up there?
57.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay, let's just take like 10 minutes.
Sure.
A little head flush.
I think the character of the band may be changed, but the spirit hasn't. There's a spirit in Deep Purple. There's a spirit of freedom. And yeah, we try to challenge ourselves all the time.
I saw that when they were playing live and I went to talk to them about doing the album, when they just started a jam in the middle of the show, the whole audience got out of their seats. They started dancing in the aisles and turning around. It was so moving and powerful and impressive. I knew at that moment that that's what I wanted to capture on their recordings.
Working with Bob, he said, I'd like to hear you just stretch out and play as you used to do, and play as you do on stage. And it was like somebody opened a door, you know, we went through it, and it was just like the old days.